On Tech News Today, the end of net neutrality, Windows Phone on Android, and now you can get paid in bitcoins. All that and more coming up next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's Tuesday, January 14th, 2014, and this is Tech News Today. Tech News Today is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/TNT. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free two-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT1. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Jason Howell.
Tech News Today delivers the top tech news in 30 minutes or less. We got a lot of news today, so let's get right to the top news. A federal appeals court today ruled against the FCC and also its rules for net neutrality. The United States Court of Appeals in D.C. said that the FCC doesn't have the authority to impose its open internet rules on internet providers like Verizon because of how the FCC itself classifies such companies. The FCC does not classify internet providers as common carrier service like the telephone companies are. If the ruling were to stand, it would mean internet providers could charge rich websites more to provide faster service while throttling the little guys. The FCC may appeal.
Motorola might start letting you build your own tablets, at least the way you can with a Moto X. Motorola CEO Dennis Woodside tells the blog Pocket Lint that the company is considering offering tablets that can be customized on the Moto Maker website. Buyers could choose colors, materials, and specs, such as the amount of storage and accessories.
EvLeaks, who often gets his hands on leaked photos of prototype smartphones, posted a picture today that's supposed to be Nokia's secret Android phone, codenamed Normandy. The picture appears to show a home screen with Microsoft's Metro UI on top of Android. Wow, Android with a Windows Phone interface. Microsoft is currently in the process of buying Nokia's devices and services business, and Nokia owns 92% of the global Windows Phone market.
Oh, good. We've got a New Jersey story that doesn't involve a bridge. This one's about the New Jersey state government shutting down something else. Drone abuse. The state Senate approved a bill that restricts how police and firefighters and other first responders are allowed to use drones. For starters, no weapons on drones. Also, police have to get a warrant before using a drone for surveillance, and they have to delete any information gathered after 2 weeks unless it's part of an official criminal investigation. The bill now goes to Governor Chris Christie for signature.
Don't tell Leo, but now employers can pay employee salaries using Bitcoin. A company called BitPay, which claims to be the world's largest payment processor for virtual currencies, released a beta payroll API. It enables employers to offer a net payroll deduction paid in Bitcoin to accompany each paycheck, which is in dollars. The service is currently available only in the United States.
Back to some Motorola news. The company launched its Moto X phone in Europe today. It comes in a wide range of colors like black or white. Interestingly, the European model actually doesn't offer those Moto Maker customization options like the U.S. version, and it's more expensive. An unlocked Moto X in Europe costs up to $624 unlocked. It launched in the U.S. at $599 and then eventually dropped to $399. Phones will ship to France, Britain, and Germany in February.
Apple doesn't use its iBeacon indoor positioning system for transactions yet, but most Apple watchers expect them to. Yesterday, a company called iMobile 3 beat Apple to it. The company announced iBeacon support for its Passmarket product. Passmarket is a search engine for collecting mobile wallet passes from merchants. Passmarket system makes brick-and-mortar shopping like online shopping. You just walk up to the cash register and kind of check out. The cash register knows you're there because iBeacon is deployed in a partnership with a company called Two Canoes. Customers can pay with their Passmarket wallet app on iPhone without using a credit card. Passmarket also says their system is more secure than, say, Target's because credit card data is stored in a single secure vault at the payment processor and not at the store.
Google now makes it a little easier for you to find images that you have the right to use on your own site, like your blog. A new menu item under search tools lets you sort images that you've pulled up in a search by usage rights, such as labeled for reuse or labeled for commercial reuse. Microsoft added a similar feature to Bing last July.
It just got a little easier for people to make augmented reality content. The Spanish augmented reality company Cachum today launched a new platform called CraftAR. It lets you link digital assets to real-world objects, for example, additional information about an object that's displayed when a user is looking at that object in real life. It also enables the creation of 3D models through scanning real objects and tools for embedding augmented reality experiences into mobile apps.
Today, YouTube brought back the central inbox for video comments. Users had complained loudly when Google switched YouTube to a Google Plus-centric comment system and then removed that central inbox altogether. So Google fast-tracked the development of a new content management page that lets you see, respond to, and moderate your comments all in one place. That's Google's words.
In a minute, we're going to talk to an analyst who says that 2014 could be the year that Apple catches up to Microsoft. But first, let's hear from Personal Capital, which is one of our sponsors today. Your financial life has a catch-22, which is that the more progress you make, the more complicated your finances become. Your accounts are scattered everywhere in different accounts, checking, savings, retirement, credit, investments, as well as mortgages and loans. So how can you make investment decisions when you're only seeing one piece of the puzzle at a time? Well, Personal Capital changes the game by combining all your financial accounts and giving you a total real-time snapshot of all your finances. They show you graphs, charts, and reports that tell you the whole story. It's like having financial GPS at your fingertips. And right now, you can use Personal Capital for free by going to personalcapital.com/TNT. Signing up just takes a minute, and it'll pay big dividends by helping you make better investment decisions immediately. So sign up now. It's absolutely free at personalcapital.com/TNT. And get your free Personal Capital account. Smart investing means seeing the big picture, so start today. Visit personalcapital.com/TNT. And we thank Personal Capital for their support of Tech News Today. Well, joining us today is Horace Dediu, an industry analyst who specializes in smartphones and with a focus on iPhones. He's also the co-host of the talk show The Critical Path on 5x5 Studios, and he blogs at asimco.com. Welcome, Horace.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So you wrote a fascinating article, and it was an analysis of the larger markets, the PC markets and the mobile and tablet markets. And you're kind of, to a certain extent, treating them as one, but you're essentially looking at the decline of Microsoft and, you know, based on the decline of the PC industry and how that compares with the rise of Apple products and so on. So can you tell us a little bit about this column and about your central thesis in the piece?
Well, it's actually rooted in the question of what made Windows successful in the first place. The phenomenon of Windows is so important to the history of computing that if anything happens to Windows, it ought to reflect, it ought to be reflected in our thinking about how this industry is actually structured. The curious thing that's happening with Windows is that it has declined, or I should say PC shipments have declined for the last nine or so quarters. And what I'm showing is essentially on a yearly basis, if we take the data on Mac sales out of Gartner's published global PC shipments, we get a picture of nominally the Windows PC shipments. And that figure clearly shows a decline over the last 2 years. Now, the question, it wasn't so much about whether Apple was the cause and beneficiary of it, but rather, what caused Windows to be successful in the first place, and has that advantage disappeared? And the conclusion I draw is that the difference is one of quantities. The primary difference between the 90s and today isn't the number of platforms or who owns them as much as the fact that decisions are being made by a lot more people about what computers they ought to use. the purchase decisions in the 1990s were driven mainly by companies. And that meant that the IT department, as we know it today, would make a decision on behalf of thousands of employees.
Sure.
And therefore, once a company standardized, many of its suppliers, partners, customers would standardize in order to interoperate. And so there was this knock-on effect where the largest companies standardized on Windows, and therefore all the medium companies and all the small companies, and then eventually all the individuals, all agreed that Windows worked for them.
But even in the 90s, in the consumer market, I know that a lot of consumers chose Windows, a majority of consumers chose Windows. And the sense at that time was that you the most important thing was apps, including games. Games was where the PC action was. And nowadays, I think there's a similar phenomenon where, you know, people go where the apps are, where the software is. Do you think that's a factor?
Indeed, but the reason we had apps is because developers also chose it. So I left out of that discussion. I had written it, but I have forgot to mention it. We had companies choosing, and developers went where the companies went, and consumers went where developers went. Ultimately, this was all a virtuous cycle, which led to more and more growth. So the developer was a key ingredient. As we remember, Balmer's famous exhortation to developers, 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 that was an essential element of the strategy for Microsoft in the 1990s, early 2000s. The point I'm making, I suppose, is that the quantity of units is two orders of magnitude higher now when you're dealing with mobile devices. And so we're having the effect of billions of consumers' decisions independent of their employer, independent of their perhaps dependent somewhat on the operators they choose. But there's a huge amount of variety in decision making now vis-a-vis what we had in the 1990s.
Sure.
And that's the main question I'm trying to answer is, has that advantage of Microsoft's centralized decision making, has that disappeared with consumerization?
I've seen another sort of a perspective on the changing market that said that in 2014, internet-connected devices, if you look at all devices as internet-connected devices, Microsoft's market share will be approximately 15%. Now, is it fair to look at the market? Are mobile devices changing in such a way that they are considered real alternatives or are comparable to desktop PCs running Windows? Is that a fair comparison?
When I discuss the history of computing, I always start with what we know as mainframes today, which were just called computers back then.
Right.
And when computers, like those large centralized computers, were faced with an alternative initially with mini computers from companies like Digital Equipment, Data General, and others, they were thought of as not good enough computers. They were not powerful enough for the real applications of the time. So they were used as departmental computers. So R&D may have one, and perhaps marketing may have one. Later, only much later, did we have real personal computers. And they, too, were considered not good enough. They weren't really multi-user, multitasking, so they were used for single jobs, like, for example, spreadsheets. But spreadsheets were a new type of program that didn't even exist on minis or mainframes. So always the pattern is that the next generation of computer is actually not very good, not able to handle the real, quote, business applications. And so it's essentially dismissed as a non-starter and a non-competitor. And that we're seeing with first tablets and mobile phones as becoming, but you're seeing consumption. Don't measure power, measure where people's time is spent. And there the patterns are very
That's
clear.
A really excellent point. And I urge everyone to go read Horace's article on asimco.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Horace. It's a fascinating article, and I really appreciate your comments. It's a changing world, and you really make a lot of sense of it, and I thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Horace Dedieu is an industry analyst who specializes in smartphones, and you can find him at asimco.com. Well, Sarah, we reported on our brand new news show, Tech News Tonight, which everybody should see at 4 p.m. on weeknights, that Google, of course, bought Nest.
Yeah, big news yesterday. We weren't able to make it in our morning show.
That's right.
But thank goodness we have a afternoon edition.
Thank goodness. And it just started yesterday. So tune in tonight. It's Padre tonight. Anyway, so the Nest acquisition kind of had people scratching their heads a little bit yesterday. Why would Google, okay, let's just, in the plainest of terms, why would a search engine company want a thermostat?
Well, I think that's a little, I mean, to say Google is still just a search engine company is not really to count all of Google's business strategies going forward.
And more to the point, Nest is not a thermostat company. I think a recent interview had Tony Fadell, who's the key player and the CEO of this company. And by the way, he's remaining CEO of Nest, even as Google buys this company.
Yeah, they say they're going to, at least for now, operate the company as independently as they had been operating before.
They said they're not even going to share user data with Google. But anyway, he said that Nest's core technologies are not little thermostats, but, quote, communications, algorithms, sensors, and user experience running over a network to the cloud. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a Google business. And I've seen various analysts say, well, this is all about robots. In other words, the intelligence and the adaptivity of this thermostat could be applied to one of Google's frightening robots that they recently acquired. And that's one option. But essentially, this is an algorithm-based company. And so, you know, what do you think? I mean, there's the design angle, which people saying, wow, this is really Apple-y, beautiful design products, and this will help Google.
Yeah, the guy designed the iPod.
Yeah.
Now he works for Google. What?
Yeah.
So, well, here's the thing. Okay, we just had a conversation about how people are poo-pooing the whole idea of the Internet of Things, right? Yeah. It's just not happening, and nobody actually wants things in their house to be all that technical after all. Google buys a company like Nest, and all of a sudden people go, wait a second.
Yeah, sure.
Because Google's got not only all the money in the world, but a huge team. They're acquiring a company that you have to assume Apple was also interested in.
Sure, yeah.
And that changes everything. Because all of a sudden it's like, well, Google's not going to do this for no reason. Yes, it's a lot of money. Yes, Google can afford it. But mm-hmm. this is a team that Google wants to be on their team. And search engine is how Google started.
Yeah. So Fadell actually said something similar to what you said, which is that, you know, why'd you join Google? And he said, essentially, to paraphrase, because they have all the money in the world. I mean, he wants the resources, and they were getting good, good venture capital and stuff like that. They were funding really nicely, and actually very profitable. They're making a lot of money already. You can buy these devices in Apple stores, for example, online and in retail stores, but Google just has billions of dollars to spend on this, and also they have the sort of algorithmic infrastructure. We've seen indications that Google will be bringing this, its Android at Home initiative, its home automation.
Finally, it's about time.
Yeah. They're going to bring that to Google Now. There's indications of Google Now that that's going to happen. And so it's going to be card-based. And I think this is really where we're going with this kind of stuff, where right now Nest kind of remembers how warm you like it at certain times of day. In the future, they'll know where you are. They'll know you're 15 minutes from being home and that it takes 15 minutes to heat up the house. And so when they see you coming home, they'll heat up the house. The big thing, this is tied into Google's initiatives for energy conservation, because this could make, you know, a thermostat that is tied into Google Now, think about that. It could really just use energy in your house only exactly when you need it. And that could be a very, very cool thing.
I've seen people, a little doomsday kind of a view on this, saying, well, you know, Google makes all its money from search at the same time in advertising. What does that mean for somebody who loves their Nest and doesn't want it to change and become, you know, sort of this corporate monster? I don't see that happening. I don't think that that's Google's goal. Mm-hmm. I think Google is realizing that they have a core way to make money. And that's been working for a long time, but the world is changing, sure. And they have to actually get into business markets that people are excited about and that will help increase their sources of revenue rather than, like, let's put advertisements on your thermostat.
Right, exactly.
Do either of you remember back in December when EvLeaks, actually, I believe it was EvLeaks, leaked these screenshots of EnergySense, which was an app that basically, you know, purported to do the same thing that, you know, that Nest does natively, control your thermostat, do all that kind of stuff. So the picture becomes even clearer suddenly.
And Sarah, speaking of making the world a better place, what's happening in Africa?
Well, there's a startup. We've been talking about drones. You know, it's like drones are scary. New Jersey just wants to make sure that the law enforcement doesn't overstep their boundaries. But this is a great story from a startup based in San Francisco called AirWare that had completed recently a successful field trial at the, hope I'm saying this right, the Ol Pejeta Conservancy in Kenya. That is in a huge swath of land where endangered black and white rhinos live. Now, rhinos are endangered because people get a lot of money for poaching them, and it's very, very hard to get a license to be able to legally poach, and so it's a big problem. AirWare partnered with the conservancy to have drones flying over the land to figure out, hey, do we have a poacher issue? Can we spot a small fire maybe out in the middle of nowhere without actually having to fly, you know, to a spacecraft that's being flown by a person and have to pay jet fuel costs and all of that stuff? It's a 2-week test. They use three kinds of drones, two fixed wing aircraft and one flexible wing aircraft. The CEO of AirWare, Jonathan Downey, says they were designed to operate totally autonomously, well out of sight of the pilot. So, you know, the pilot can be somewhere completely different. And it's great. They used infrared cameras for nighttime video. They use electro-optical cameras during the day. They could fly really low, much lower than a plane, between 100 and 400 feet. Not only could they see something like a campfire, like I mentioned, but you can actually see, using a special kind of camera, an elephant's trunk change from white to black after it took a drink of water.
Wow.
That's amazing. So, I mean, the level of detail is unprecedented. Now, you may say, that's great. We don't have poaching problems anymore. It was an Indiegogo campaign that the conservancy itself started to raise $46,000 in order to be able to pay AirWare to conduct the test. But the conservancy doesn't have that kind of money to continue the service. So this is one of those things that you say, okay, well, this isn't the solution right now, mm-hmm. but this is something that is so educational on the part of not only places that could use something like drone technology for good, but also companies that, they can sort of think going forward, oh, these are the sorts of organizations that we can partner with so that we put effort into a technology that people want.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I lived in Kenya for a few months last year. And once you go out there in these wide open spaces where rhinos and other wildlife live, you realize what a great idea this is and how difficult it must be right now to crack down on poaching. You see these wide open spaces. The poachers are very good at hiding and that sort of thing. It's very difficult to hide from drones, as we've learned, as the Pentagon knows all too well in the so-called war on terror. And so it's really a fantastic issue, and I'm really behind this thing because we desperately need help. There are only a few hundred black rhinos left. A lot of these species are endangered, and really something needs to be done about poaching. And Kenya is a good place to do it because the government there is all on board about preserving wildlife. It's their bread and butter with tourism and that sort of thing. So I really like this whole idea. Well, there's a controversy that's been brewing since Google started making a lot of noise about Google Glass, which is that should you wear this thing when you're driving? So some people say, no, it's in something on your face and therefore dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm starting to think that maybe it's going to end up being a great idea because there's lots of things coming out that actually make driving safer. For example, yesterday, a new glassware app emerged called DriveSafe. And this uses Google Glass's sensors to detect whether you're falling asleep. So as you're nodding off and about to crash and die, before that happens, the thing buzzes your head because, you know, remember, it uses a bone conduction sound, but it also vibrates and you can feel it. And it essentially wakes you up and prevents you from falling asleep. There are other apps out there that have already existed that warn you of things coming up. There's a construction ahead or there's traffic ahead so you don't go slamming into somebody when you drive around the corner or whatever. So what do you think, Sarah? Is this, I mean, you know, the UK almost banned it, then they sort of backtracked. A woman in San Diego famously got a ticket for wearing it.
Sure. The first one, at least in the US, that we know of.
Yes.
Yeah. And Cecilia Abadie.
I mean, how do you, you know, what's your feeling? Do you think this is a danger or an improvement in driving safety?
Well, nobody should fall asleep at the wheel. And I've gotten dangerously close a few times. And that's a terrible feeling, you know. And I've actually got this thing in my car that if my car thinks that I am sort of, it's sensing me kind mm-hmm. of moving, maybe as if I am falling asleep, I get a little coffee cup icon that like shows up in my dash.
They tell you, go buy a cup of coffee.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, go to Starbucks.
Sponsored by Starbucks.
But the problem is I'm like, if I'm doing this, I'm not noticing the coffee. And it's like, it's not good enough. You know, it's like, I want somebody to kind of like smack me in the face.
You need real coffee.
Well, that, or maybe a pair of glasses to be like, and then I would wake up and save myself and those around me. So yeah, I think when you present certain use cases this way for safety, then you kind of go, okay, all right, that actually isn't a bad idea. The problem still is that you have all of these capabilities that are not just safety solutions. You know, do I want to flip through, you know, my Twitter feed or, you know, look at pictures or that sort of thing? Do I, you know, am I, it's like, you know, I can't have my phone near me in my car because it's like, I just can't, even if I'm at a stoplight, I can't have that.
Yeah.
So if it's on my face, well, then what do you do? Do you set restrictions for yourself before you get in the car? Is it up to the person? Is it up to... You know, then you get into these sort of larger questions of, if I have the technology, what should I really have access to while I'm driving?
Right, exactly. That's a good point. Well, Sarah, there's a lot of speculation about how Silicon Valley may sort of take on Hollywood or get involved in the television industry. And you've got some interesting speculation on that.
This email comes to us from Daniel, who says, I remember seeing some news about a month ago about DirecTV and the NFL maybe being close to another exclusivity deal. Since then, he says, this is back in, you know, mid-December, just crickets. What's going on? Daniel says, what are the odds that Google, Apple, or both are being quiet about going after the Sunday ticket? Again, for anybody outside the U.S., we're talking about football. On a related note, what do you think the odds are of Aereo being bought by either Apple or Google if the Supreme Court of the United States rules that Aereo is legal? With Aereo and the NFL, Google TV or Apple TV becomes a real game changer.
What do you think? The Aereo thing is interesting. That sounds like something Google would do. Because it's so radical and disruptive, and if it's legalized officially, I can just see them not only buying it but just spreading it all over the place.
I don't see Apple and Aereo becoming good buds anytime soon. Then again, Aereo still has some legal challenges. I mean, it's not smooth sailing for Aereo yet. They've had really good luck in courts, but the technology is. It doesn't work perfectly. You know, it only works in certain urban markets really well anyway. So, so yeah, I mean, I think Aereo would love to have some sort of a deal like that. Yeah. But I don't know that it's best for Google or Apple as much as it would be for Aereo.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. We thank you for that email. Well, we're going to hear about Kim.com's most recent venture. But first, I want to tell you about Squarespace. My favorite platform for building websites and blogs. Squarespace.com is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. They are constantly improving their platform. They have new features, new designs, and even better support, and they get better and better all the time. I've been using them for a while, and it's when I started using it, I was blown away by how great it is, and it just keeps getting better. They have more than 20 new beautiful templates. And this is the thing about templates. There are templates everywhere, all over the internet. Lots of services provide templates for blogs and websites. They're almost all cheesy. 99% of them out there are horrible. Squarespace's templates are beautiful, designed by very sophisticated designers who are really doing what's happening today with design. They're not doing like designs from the 90s or something that look horrible. Their tech support is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you're up in the middle of the night working on your site, they can help you. It starts at only $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. The coolest thing about Squarespace, I think, is that they're so mobile savvy. They look great. A Squarespace site always looks great on a mobile device. And they have a new Squarespace metric app for iPhone and iPad that lets you check stats like page views, unique visitors, social media followers, and stuff like that. And with their blog app, you can make text updates, tap and drag images to change layouts and monitor comments on the go. So when you're out and about, you can actually moderate your comments. Even their code is beautiful, according to developers who are also aesthetic fans. So, and of course, Squarespace takes care of the hosting, so you don't have to deal with it. Start a free 2-week trial with no credit card required and start building your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code TNT1, the one stands for January, to get 10% off. That's TNT1, and to show your support for Tech News Today. We thank Squarespace for their support of Tech News Today. And remember, Squarespace, it's everything you need to create an exceptional website. Well, Sarah, there's an online petition going on at change.org that calls for immediate action. And that is that something like 654,000 people have signed a petition to bring Grand Theft Auto 5 to the PC platform. This is an important issue, people. We need to get behind this. The game was released in September on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and Rockstar Games, the company that makes Grand Theft Auto, says that they're thinking about it. Sarah, it's nice to see people getting involved in something and who believe in something.
Pulling together for a good cause.
That's right.
Let's unite. Let's unite and be able to share experiences as human beings.
Speaking of people who like to get involved, what's happening with Kim.com?
Internet entrepreneur Kim.com. You know him. You may or may not love him, but he can't run for a seat in the New Zealand Senate because he's still a German national. He has expressed interest in doing so, though. And he says he still intends to found a political party in his adopted home of New Zealand to contest the country's upcoming general election. His organization will be called, drumroll please, Mega Party. .com says that he is just founding and funding the party. That's all he can do. And he tweeted that he has hopes of making politics exciting by activating non-voters, the youth, and internet electorate.
Well, that's our show. And, someday maybe Kim.com will be the Arnold Schwarzenegger of New Zealand politics. Who knows?
Ooh.
Stranger things have happened.
I don't want to think about that as a visual at all.
Share your tips, news, and leaks and feedback. You can email us at tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW and leave a message. Also, upvote the stories you'd like us to see us cover on our subreddit at technewstoday.reddit.com. And, of course, visit our Tech News Today Google Plus community. You can find Tech News Today at twit.tv/TNT. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.